Does your loved one have issues with weight? Can they be healthy at any size? Hi, I'm Shantae. Welcome to Parenting Special Needs Live. And, we've struggled in our house forever with weight issues. We've probably tried every diet. I'm not going to say every diet, but we've tried a lot of diets and not been successful. So does any of this resonate with you? Is your child struggle with weight issues or any of your loved ones? Do you know foods to what to serve, what to avoid? Do medicines play a role? Well, we thought that today we would ask Logan Sullivan to join us. Logan Sullivan is the owner of LS Nutrition. She is a non-diet, weight-inclusive registered dietitian who specializes in disorder eating and eating disorders. So we've asked her to join us to talk about what a non-diet is, being healthy at every size, what foods to eat, avoid, how to teach or explain portion control and moderation, and also if medicines come into play with weight issues. So please help me in welcoming Logan Sullivan. Welcome, Logan. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to start out with the first question of kind of asking you like what you mean by non-diet.
So kind of like you just said, you essentially in your household alone and in many households around all of the US, people try diets all the time. I know growing up, I always heard, oh, the new diet starts Monday. So the thing is with dieting, ask yourself if they worked, why are we constantly starting a new one all of the time? So when I was in college, I obviously started to do more research in terms of this because I started to connect the dots that clearly dieting is not the answer for achieving optimal health, for achieving what we all want as a healthy body. And what I ended up finding was intuitive eating. So with intuitive eating, it's more so getting in tune with your body as a whole, getting very curious over your food choices from a very non-judgmental point of view. So with that, obviously with dieting, we create these rules where it's like we cannot eat X, Y, and Z. But at the same time, how many times have we said we're avoiding X, Y, and Z to either overeat on them, binge eat on them, or feel out of control with eating those? So from a non-diet point of view, it's allowing all foods and having the understanding I can eat literally any food I want in whatever quantity I want at any time that I want. And it more so takes a lot of the guilt and shame away from that. So by taking the guilt and shame away from that, we obviously have a much more clear mind to be able to make those food choices. So then obviously we are able to say like, okay, if I do eat a large consumption of, let's say, tacos, do I really feel my physical best after doing that? How do I feel mentally after doing that? A lot of the time we're going to say not really great. But just in the same token, if we were to eat nothing but fruits, we're obviously also not going to feel really our best physically or mentally. So the thing is always going back to kind of like you said, moderation, but again, in a very individualized way, because moderation to you is going to be different than moderation for your kids or myself and so on. So again, non-diet is very more in tune with what are your individual needs.
Wow. Okay. So let's like, I need a little help on that because, okay. So let's say for example, my, let's just say for breakfast, my loved one, no mention any names, but she wants two egg sandwiches. So I should just like kind of let that be, not say no.
So I would look at their intake as a whole. So if, you know, their best meal in terms of quantity does come in the morning, if they have the biggest appetite that time of day, then by all means, yes. You can always encourage more of a buffet style of food where it's like you have the eggs, for example, you have the toast, maybe you have like a turkey bacon or a regular bacon, maybe fruit is available. And then that person would be able to pick whatever foods they want from that variety and then in whatever quantity they want. So obviously if they have in their mind that they always need to eat two egg sandwiches, I would urge them to get curious over why that is. You know, are you actually hungry for that amount of food? Are you finding that you like to have a bigger breakfast and you don't really have time for lunch? That type of thing.
Okay. So, I'm not sure, but like, what about if they have you, well, you do work with people with eating disorders, right? And, disorder eating. So, okay. So let's use my daughter again as an example. So what about when it's kind of like almost like just shove it in, you know, I mean, like more, like almost no control. Like what, I shouldn't say it like that. She doesn't do that all the time, but she does have that sometimes, like just kind of, is that maybe because there's not enough choices, or that she's not getting filled like with other foods that are filling her up?
It can definitely be lack of variety. It can also be due to the types of foods you're eating and in what manner. So for example, I always like to give the plate of pasta example, because a lot of people will eat a plate of pasta. And then a lot of the time too, they're like, well, I feel like I'm eating past my fullness, but I'm hungry again within like 2 hours. Like, why is that? So the thing is, if we were just to consume a carbohydrate-based meal without any sort of like fiber in that or protein or like a whole lot of fat, we're not going to feel very full and satisfied for very long, because our blood sugar is not going to be controlled the best. So just by simply adding like a protein source, that can help stabilize that blood sugar and then feel fuller for longer periods of time and actually feel more satiated. So I definitely would urge anybody to kind of look at the overall variety of the diet, as well as what is the manner of consumption. Because again, if you're just eating very carb-rich foods, you're probably not going to feel very full and satisfied off that. Just like if you were to only eat protein-rich foods without a carbohydrate, also not going to feel very full and satisfied.
So what do you recommend? They should have like a protein, a carb, and what, grain? I mean, is it like the 4 food groups?
So there are 5 food groups. So I do recommend at least 3 to 4 food groups per meal for better satiety. And then again, for helping us feeling fuller longer. So definitely the, like with the 5 food groups, I always do recommend at least like 3 to 4 per meal as like a minimum. Obviously if you want all 5 food groups, you definitely can do that. But as a general guideline, 3 to 4.
3 to 4. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And so how, okay. So do you teach moderation, or do you kind of put, like, how do you do that? Or how do you teach them portion control? And I'm kind of a little confused too. Like, okay, I'm trying to just think with my daughter, like if she can just eat whatever she wants, which would not be awesome that we all could eat whatever we want, but are there limits? Like, is there like a portion control portion of it, or you can just have whatever you want? I mean, how do you do it?
So that's kind of the misconception with intuitive eating, is if you become an intuitive eater, that means you don't care about your health. I hear that a lot. I see it a lot. People essentially think when they become intuitive eaters, that just means fast food and cakes all the time. But with intuitive eating, it's again, getting very in tune with your body. So by just consuming, let's say, fast food and cakes all the time, how physically well are you going to feel? So that's why I'm always going to promote getting curious with your overall food choices. Because again, if that's all you were going to consume, you're not going to feel your best. Mentally, you're not going to feel your best. Physically, you're not going to feel your best, and so on. So I more so have people think about it like this. So let's say all you have access to is that fast food. I would obviously rather them eat that than eat nothing. But at the same time, if that's all they're eating, again, they're really not probably going to feel their physical best. So then we need to take into consideration, what types of micronutrients are you getting into the diet? You know, are you getting adequate fruits and vegetables? Are you making sure to implement what's known as gentle nutrition? So incorporating foods that also help you feel physically and mentally good. So it's more so, I don't love the word moderation per se, because diet culture has definitely coined that term so that people think you can only have certain amounts of food at certain amounts of times of the day and just all the rules associated with that. But it's more so listening to your specific body. So for example, if let's say with your daughter, if all she wanted was ice cream and you're noticing like she's eating ice cream and eating ice cream, eventually she's going to get sick of it. Kind of like with fruit. If you give her fruit and she's loving it and loving it, eventually she's going to get sick of that. Because anytime we have overexposure, you know, we like variety in the diet essentially. So that's why it's very important too, to have all of these different food choices.
But now what about, if you have children with special needs or disabilities, and sometimes they can't express themselves, language delays, that so that would be a problem too. I have maybe, I'm not sure if she would be able to tell me like, well, she might be able to tell me I'm still hungry, but I don't know if she would tell me like, oh, that really satisfied me. I don't know if that's like a question, you know, like that I could pose to her. How would you address that?
So that's why specifically at mealtimes, I do like to recommend like the buffet style. So you're having a wide variety of foods and then also going to be nutrient dense. So let's say you have like your chicken, and then let's say you have a carbohydrate such as rice or pasta, and then you're like, okay, I do want to implement some gentle nutrition and have more micronutrients. So then maybe that's where you have like the broccoli or green beans or something like that. By having all of the food out, obviously these are going to be nutrient dense foods that could potentially create a well-balanced meal depending on what's grabbed. But at least with that, instead of verbally saying, this is what I want, they could physically take it if they're able to physically do that, or at least they could point to it and say like, this is what I want. So I definitely think a lot of it too is exposure to different types of foods. Because the thing is, we do have to try foods a number of times to see if we even really like it. And obviously taking into preparation methods of the food, because if all you're serving is steamed broccoli and your child does not like steamed broccoli, maybe you then try to do like roasted broccoli or having like a dipping sauce with that broccoli. So more so giving exposure to food so kids can try that.
Okay. So you just said something that made a light bulb go off in my head. So you're recommending, or you're suggesting that, kind of like I'm envisioning like like the olden days when you put all the food out on the table, right? And maybe mm-hmm. that's not the olden days, but I think of it like, and everyone just grabs what they want, like scoops mm-hmm. out what they want. So you're kind of, so you're kind of like saying that like buffet style, they scoop mm-hmm. what they want. So that,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's interesting. We don't do that in our house. I normally kind of just put everything on the plate and then serve, So you're saying, why do you suggest that?
Because specifically, like with the eating disorders, I do it because with eating disorders, people like to have control. That's a large part of eating disorders, is wanting just control over their overall food consumption. But it's kind of the same thing with children, where they just like to have control over what they're doing. As like human nature, we don't like to be told what to do. So if you're just giving specific types of foods all the time and saying, this is what's for dinner, kids want to rebel against that. It's just common nature. So by giving them the food choices, they are more prone to maybe try the broccoli or carrots or things like that, because it's their choice to do it and not you forcing it or implementing it.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. I'm going to change that up. I'm going to switch that up, because you're right. I've been normally just putting it on the plate and we put everything on the plates, but maybe you're right. Choices. They want to have choices. So, all right, cool. All right. So anything that I did not ask, anything else you'd like to talk about? Or actually, is that kind of the buffet style is kind of what the Thanksgiving approach is? Kind of where?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the way I tell people to look at it, as where like at Thanksgiving, for example, people are obviously able to make the choices that they want based off what is available. And because things are out in the open, people are typically more inclined to try something. So I know growing up, like the first time I ever saw a green bean casserole, if my mom had put it on my plate, I would have probably been like, no, like I'm not eating that because you're telling me to eat it. But then because it was a buffet style, I was like, okay, well, nobody's forcing it. Nobody's really putting any pressure on me to try these things, because I think a lot of the time too, kids do feel pressure to do things. So then obviously they don't want to do it. So just by, again, having it out in the open, then they have the opportunity to say like, oh, I wonder what that tastes like. Maybe I should try that.
And what do you recommend if a child or loved one, because my daughter's, an adult, a young adult, but like if they are, like, do you have questions? Like maybe I should ask, like if she is over consuming, like if I do the choices and I put everything mm-hmm. out and she takes quite a bit. Are there questions I should ask to kind of help her start thinking like,
So, I mean, that's definitely going to be pretty multifactorial, because obviously medications can play a big role into that too, where maybe, the medications they're on are making them crave more carb-rich things and things like that. But at the same token, I would maybe ask questions if they are able to understand that, like, when you do eat pasta, for example, and like the quantity you're eating, like, do you feel satisfied off of that? Do you feel like you're missing something? You can obviously like put some type of chicken or protein or something like that on the plate for them to try. But at the same token, if they really don't want to try it, I would not make like a huge deal over it. But they might start connecting dots same with like my eating disorder patients, where when they eat certain foods or food groups together, they do feel more satisfied off of that meal. So, I mean, you obviously can start to question it and kind of say like, do you really feel like very full with that? Or do you find, you know, when we have this specific dinner, you do feel hungrier more frequently? Because sometimes people just really don't understand, you know, why they do feel hungry again so quick. So sometimes just addressing it and saying, you know, do you think if we added this to it, or what do you think you would want with this to make you feel more satisfied, I think can be beneficial.
Right. And I, as you were saying that, I remember too, like for years when they were younger, I had the older sister make pancakes every Saturday so that the younger one could learn to cut properly, you know, because I feel pancakes. But oh my gosh, the whole family got to the point where pancakes were such a gut bomb, or you know what I mean? It was like, so we really did start noticing with those, like how you felt like after you ate that. Yes, you were so excited to get it, but then even if you had eggs and everything else, you just felt like you needed to go take a nap, like after Thanksgiving, you know? It was like, so not satisfying. So maybe I'll try to like ask those questions. I think that would be helpful. So you mentioned before too about medicine. So what about if medicine, because I know sometimes stimulants can like, you know, suppress their appetite. And then obviously maybe other medicines, it's not really talked about that much if it makes them crave more foods. I mean, I have not heard it really. I ask the doctors all the time and they always like, you know, tell me no, but I just see too many of our young loved ones with disabilities that are, you know, that seem to crave food.
So I mean,
I want your input. Like if they are, if it is something like that, how do we, you know, do you have suggestions or recommendations for parents on that?
So I think my biggest, not even a recommendation, but the biggest thing to point out is I think in our society, for example, if a child is, or even a person is eating, you know, maybe what we deem large quantities of food, but they're at what we also deem an appropriate weight, we don't think anything of it. So I definitely think people in smaller bodies are more societally accepted. However, when people are in larger bodies, there is typically that weight stigma that comes involved in that. So I think it's also important to question, why do we think that way? Because let's say we have two different children and they are eating the exact same way, but one is in a smaller body and one is in a larger body. Why are we honing in so much on the person in the larger body, even though they can be healthy in every size? So I think that's another thing to really much pay attention to, because again, I think we as a society essentially do accept maybe a thin body is genetically acceptable. So if people are genetically more prone to being a smaller body, we just accept that. We're like, okay, well, they're just smaller. It is what it is. But maybe genetically they are more predispositioned to a larger body. We're always like, as a whole in the society, people are saying, this is what you need to do to lose weight. This is what you need to do in order to avoid that and help essentially lose weight. So I think it's important to start questioning why that is, because again, you can be healthy at every size. So why are we so focused on the overall weight and scale more so than a person's overall well-being? Because if your child is eating well balanced and including fruits and vegetables and they seem happy and they seem energetic, but maybe they are in a larger body, why does that bother a person? So I think it's more so getting that out in the open too, and start to really question why that is.
No, I do. I appreciate that. I see, because you're right, you know, looking at the different body sizes, you know, and you might have people like that are commenting that might be, you know, a grandma that is at a totally different body size than, and at a different stage of life than a young adult, you know, that are questioning. But what if they're not healthy? Like, what if you're trying to provide a healthy diet? And I mean, like, how do you describe healthy? Because like, I don't think having a double chin or, you know, excess weight is healthy. I mean, you know.
So, I mean, you obviously want to look at their metabolic panel, because again, a person could, let's say, be in a very large body, but metabolically they're healthy and they don't have trouble getting around and they are happy as an individual. Like, why do you think you look at them and think you're unhealthy when a person that's in a smaller body could easily have heart disease, but maybe they're not tested because they're at a normal weight? So that's the thing. You cannot look at a person and deem them healthier or not just based off their overall size, because there are so many especially like young women that go undiagnosed with heart disease because they're at a healthy weight and their doctors are not testing for that, versus a person in a larger body, they're always typically tested for that type of thing because it's always associated, where if you're at a larger, if you're in a heavier body, then you're automatically going to be unhealthy. So there's definitely a lot of weight bias in our society. And I honestly urge anybody watching this to really start learning about it and questioning, why do you have those typical biases? Because let's say a person is physically active and they are eating well-balanced meals, but they are in a larger body and maybe they do have a double chin, they could still be healthier than a person in a smaller body. So I think it's more so questioning why that bothers you as an individual.
Okay. All right. And I think you're right. It's because society, well, also because you're told, kind of, like, mm-hmm. right? I have a sister, mom, brother, everybody else. Mm-hmm. Not, like, why do you let her eat so well? I mean, like, right. like I'm right. in control of like, mm-hmm. how, you know, like, do I have to lock the refrigerator? So yes, but you're right. But we are having the blood work done. So we'll kind of see if that works out. So.
Right. Yeah. Always check the metabolic panel. Always see just how their mental well-being is. How is their physical well-being? Because if mentally, you know, you're physically berating yourself because you're like, I should not look this way or should not be eating this way, like, how physically healthy are you going to be? So I think that's another key takeaway, is understanding how much the gut and brain are so connected. And if you're, you know, you're just constant self, negative self-talk, that can result in a number of issues as well. So I honestly urge anybody to very much dive into why, you know, maybe they do deem people in a larger body to be unhealthy, when, because in reality, you can be healthy in any size, just as you can be unhealthy in any size. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways too. But I definitely agree with what you mean, where we are taught from a very young age, especially by the healthcare system, that if you are in a larger body, you're unhealthy. But just like dietitians, we are literally all trained in diet culture. We are all trained to put people on, you know, 12, 13, 1400 calorie diets, when it's just not the way things are supposed to be. A two-year-old requires 1200 calories. So I always urge everybody to continue learning, because clearly if diets worked and if calorie restriction worked, then it would work. We would not have to start these new diets over all the time.
So really it comes down to really listening to your body and talk more, yeah. trying to hear your body, right? Mm-hmm. And saying to you, which is not easy with all the noise and distraction.
Right.
And especially with loved ones that don't necessarily know how to express what they're feeling. So, okay.
Exactly.
So anyway, yeah. coming on, it's been very interesting. I am going to switch up in my own household. I hope that this helps others. One, to think about some of the things that I'm recapping that I learned about bias, and mm-hmm. not really in trying, in, you know, in being a part of society where I've kind of think, and I'm thinking for myself, like, where you judge, not that you judge, but you think, kind of the way we've been conditioned, right? That smaller, right. you should always, everybody should be smaller, even though their bodies are not smaller, you know, like mm-hmm. That. And then also serving like family style and letting everybody choose and making sure that there is a variety at the dinner table of the nutrients that we want them to eat. That, I mm-hmm. thought that was an excellent tip. Let me just back up one on the medicine, like, is there anything, if medicines are impacting them, like, is there anything to do about that? I don't know if I got that clarified on how to help them on that one.
I mean, obviously always talk with your physician, because it's kind of out of the dietetic scope of practice, but medications can have a very big impact on hormone levels. So maybe that even requires like a hormone panel, because when they're running like your typical metabolic panel, hormones are really not involved with that whatsoever. So if you end up getting like the hormone panel ran and like cortisol is elevated and things like that, that definitely can affect just the overall body composition, make us crave more of maybe like the sugary types of foods and things like that.
Okay, no, that's good. I appreciate that. So, all right, well, thank you. This has been very interesting. It was wonderful having you. So thank you for joining us. And we'll put the link to your website underneath. And so okay. if anyone wants to check you out, that would be awesome. Well, thank you everybody for joining us today and being with us on Parenting Special Needs Live. And in case no one has told you today, you are doing a good job. It's hard work. Be good to you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.